Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Nicola Everett.
Hello, hope you're okay. Thanks ever so much for downloading today's podcast on Thursday, October the 9th. Coming up, the bomb squad's being called to Margate over suspicious items found in a flat. There are concerns work to repair a gas leak is affecting local businesses in Snodland. And we've got plenty of crime news from across the county. But first, the owner of an ice cream van says he's received death threats after being falsely linked to suspicious behaviour in Tunbridge. A young girl reported seeing three men running in her direction and was possibly grabbed on the arm while walking through the cemetery last month. Well, Kent Police have been forced to confirm the Drifters Whippy van, which was parked nearby, is not linked in any way, despite loads of rumours online. Well, Raja Khan has been speaking to our reporter, Davina Jethwa.
It's not very nice. Like I said, I was in Edenbridge last week. The second day. When it's gone on the internet, I think it was Tuesday or Wednesday, one of the days, I've gone into Edenbridge, and literally I've gone into an estate. I'm not having you on. It was the most horrible experience I've ever seen. I'd say about 10, 15 households come out, males, so all standing at the door, and the children and kids taking videos and photos of my vehicle and myself. And it was happening. As I was driving along the high street, ladies, different people stopping whilst we're driving and taking pictures of me and the van illegally. Obviously, while you're driving, it was just, you know. And then I had one guy, you know, I pulled up in an estate and he said, "Your days are numbered." So I called him over and I explained to him, and then he apologised at the end. You know, he says, "I'm sorry, it's just that, you know, what we've heard." I says, "Well, it's not true. It's got nothing to do with me whatsoever. I'm a family man. I've got three of my own boys. You know, I'm just, you know, this is just a hate campaign, primarily so we don't sell ice creams over in the Kent area. And it's got out of hand."
And am I right in thinking that during that Tunbridge incident, did you have your son with you?
No, I wasn't in Tunbridge. It was my brother and his driver.
I meant the Edenbridge incident, sorry.
That's right. Yes. Then I pulled up, and then I phoned the police. I was on to the phone with him for about a good 30 odd minutes. And we just called it a day and went home. Because wherever we was going, we had people behind the doors and the windows. You know, when we pulled up, as you come through Lingfield and you turn right, there was like a bus that I pulled up and five young girls, secondary school girls, they just got off the bus and literally was parked at the lights. We was going to turn right and they seen our vehicle and one of them started screaming and they all ran off. It's just, it's not, it's, what can I tell you? It's getting worse and worse.
And one of those incidents, am I right in thinking that the police were called because someone, a local, had called into sort of suspicious activity?
Yeah. So where we park up, this is the, I think it was on the Wednesday, I believe. So we've gone and we park up near a school. We're on a nice day, somebody wants an ice cream. It's not right outside the school. You know, we're well within the distance permitted to park up. And what's happened is two policemen turned up. They were very nice, helpful. They said, "Look, we've come down. Do you know what's aware? Are you aware what's going on and what the rumours are?" I says, "Yes." He says, "What it is, we work local, but we've been sent by Kent Police. There's a suspicious van outside the school." Got a long story short, we had a little chat and they said, "If you have any problems tonight, we're local and we'll be there for you. And, you know, hopefully this will all be put to, you know, it'll be nipped in the bud." They said once Kent Police put out a statement, hopefully things should come to, come quick, you know, be easier for you. But that is not the case every day. It's getting worse and worse.
Well, police have confirmed they've received a report of harassment in connection with allegations of abuse and threats, including online activity. They've told us inquiries are ongoing and no arrests have been made.
Kent Online News.
Other top stories today, and one person's been arrested and the bomb disposal team called in after suspicious items were found in a flat in Margate. Officers were called to Rosedale Road at around 4 yesterday afternoon. Several surrounding roads were also evacuated and a cordon put in place. Amy Fox is one of the residents who was told to leave. She spoke to our reporter, Brad Harper.
I saw blue flashing lights out of the window, and when my stepdaughter arrived, I obviously came down, and there was just police everywhere telling everyone to evacuate their homes, and yeah, it was just all a bit crazy.
And what time was that? About 3:30?
No, see, it was... what was it, about 7 is when I first noticed, but yeah, I believe it's been going on since around 3:30, but I wasn't made aware till about 7.
And what was your own reaction? What's been the reaction with, I mean, there's a lot of people out there.
Well, the police are doing their job at keeping us safe, so we're not too worried. I mean, they've evacuated everyone, so... yeah, shouldn't be much to worry about, hopefully.
Well, Brad stayed at the scene until residents were allowed back into their homes. He sent us this update just after midnight.
Police told residents they could finally return to their homes at midnight after they were evacuated in Margate. A flat in Rosedale Road remains a crime scene after a bomb squad descended on the area and 4 roads were sealed off. Police say concerns were raised about items contained inside a flat and a person was arrested. I'm told officers asked residents to leave a block of flats at about 4 p.m. yesterday, before all of Rosedale Road was evacuated at about 7 p.m, which led to 3 other streets also being cordoned off. Some locals waited outside for hours as they watched the drama unfold.
A man's appeared in court charged with murder following the death of another man 3 months after he was punched in Snodland. The 51-year-old was flown to hospital with head injuries on July the 1st. It's now been revealed he passed away on Monday. Ryan Greaves, who's 31 and from Thompson Close in the town, was at Medway Magistrates yesterday. An investigation's underway after a man reported being attacked by a group of people in a car in Sittingbourne. He's told police a light-coloured Ford KA had driven along Regency Court before he was punched in the head and taken to hospital. It's thought 6 people were in the vehicle and officers want to hear from any witnesses. And a man's been taken to hospital after allegedly being stabbed in Maidstone. The victim was at the services next to the M20 just after 11 on Friday night. He suffered lacerations to his arm and chest. Police are still hunting a suspect and want to speak to any witnesses.
Kent Online reports.
A teenager's been arrested after several cars were set alight in Thanet. Police were called to incidents on Edgar Road and Northdown Road in Margate, as well as Upton Road in Broadstairs. They're being treated as suspicious. A 16-year-old boy remains in custody while inquiries continue. Meantime, police have been called after a naked man was reportedly seen in woodland near Canterbury. Officers were called to Petbottom Road in Bridge at around 3:30 on Monday afternoon. They're still trying to identify the suspect. And 4 people have been arrested on suspicion of drug dealing offences following raids in North Kent. 3 properties in Gravesend and Northfleet were searched last Thursday morning. Cash, scales and Class A drugs were seized. An 18-year-old suspect will appear in court at the end of the month. 3 others have been released on bail. Now, inspectors have raised concerns about people in Kent having to wait long periods of time to access mental health support. Kate's got more for the podcast.
A report's been published today following a visit to the Kent and Medway NHS and Social Care Partnership Trust back in March. The regulator found an overall decline in the quality of care being provided. They've also told us people didn't always have up-to-date risk assessments or a person-centred crisis plan. Trust bosses say they're committed to delivering high standards of care and have now submitted a full plan for improvement.
Kent Online reports.
There are concerns the new post-Brexit entry-exit system might not be up and running ahead of its launch this weekend. An official at the Port of Dover has said they're having trouble with the kiosk. kiosks which collect data on travellers. Well, bosses at Eurotunnel, Eurostar and the Port are planning to launch a phased introduction of the system from Sunday. Kent customers of South East and Southern Water are facing higher than expected rises in their bills. It's after the companies had their appeals to the competition watchdog about what they could charge accepted. It gives them permission to increase bills between 1 and 5%. Staff at the investment agency locating Kent have been told that there might not be enough money for redundancy payments after it went into liquidation. The organisation, which was set up to champion business and tourism in the county, went under last month after 25 years. It's understood employees will have to claim money they're owed through a government scheme. Now, the boss of a cafe in Snodland has told the podcast how a nearby gas leak has affected them. The A228 bypass road has been closed since Sunday night. It's led to traffic diverting along the much narrower Morling Road, causing long delays and congestion. Carolina runs the Mood Lift Cafe there and says they've had fewer customers.
With there's such a big traffic, obviously, people are trying to avoid the area. So there's not that many customers coming in our directions. Simply because of the situation on the road. We're trying to avoid it, so obviously that impacted us a little bit.
So obviously it could last up to 9 days, they're saying. At the moment we've noticed it a little bit. If it continues for the whole 9 days, could that have a negative impact on the business?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. We've got bills to pay, we've got VAT now turning on November to pay. The girls need to have the wages as well, so yes. So for especially little businesses, small run family businesses, that has lots of big impact, 100%.
Would you say your message to customers is to still try and get out maybe by foot, or for people coming by car, what, do you have any recommendations of how best, what sort of times to visit perhaps?
There is no good times, because the traffic is from the early hours in the morning till late hours in the evening. What I would say, if you still want to come and visit us, just use the back roads, avoid the main road. There's a lot of, we can still do it, but it's obviously challenging.
And what about you and members of staff even getting to work? Is that a challenge? Is that taking longer? Because
very likely we've got everything. All the girls that work live locally, so that will not impact them coming to work. So yeah, that is a good thing.
Final question. Is there anything that could be done to sort of mitigate or improve the situation, or is it, you know, the fact that this closure has to happen and there's nowhere else really for people to go?
Absolutely. No, the closure is closure, but I think maybe management of the traffic flow, that will 100% help. Especially with the big lorries, they should not really go through the main road, and people using pavements, which are very dangerous, obviously, for people, especially kids on the school run. I would say definitely someone who could manage the traffic.
Yes, so having actually a person there.
Having
on the
literally
ground.
A person on the ground directing everything.
Well, we've been in touch with SGN. They say that work at the site is progressing well. In fact, they told us yesterday that they had found the leak and isolated it. However, they can't confirm yet when the road will reopen.
Kent Online News.
A restaurant boss who admitted building an outdoor dining enclosure without planning permission may try to reverse his guilty pleas. Mehmet Dari claims he didn't fully understand an earlier court hearing because there wasn't a Turkish interpreter. Now, the 45-year-old boss of Alaturka on Herne Bay seafront was due to be sentenced after admitting two offences relating to the illegal shelter, but the case was adjourned so he could seek further legal advice. The structure has now been taken down. We're told the case will be heard on January the 19th. At that time, the court will decide whether Mr. Dari can withdraw his pleas or if sentencing will go ahead. The widow of a war hero who's buried at a Kent cemetery has been told she can't move his body to her new home in France. Lieutenant Pierre-Louis Lechene was born in England to French parents and served in the Second World War. He was laid to rest in Gravesend and Milton Cemetery following his death in 1979, and he and his wife lived there at the time. She's now moved to the south of France and wants him to be closer to family, but the church has ruled against her petition. Councils in Kent and Medway are planning to join forces to create a new Brand Kent team. It'll continue the work of Visit Kent and Locating Kent, which both went into liquidation last month. Now, the RSPCA have launched their Adoptober campaign and are asking people in Kent to consider adopting larger breeds of dog. Huskies and Akitas are among the pets waiting to be rehomed at their centre in Leybourne. Charity bosses say it can take up to seven times longer for larger dogs to find a new home. Emma is from the RSPCA Leybourne Animal Centre and she's been chatting to Maisie Walker from our colleagues at KMTV.
So the aim of it really is to try and raise awareness of adoption as a concept and to try and get some of our animals that need adoption, that need homes, in front of the public that might be available to take them home and provide them homes.
And how many dogs would you say are currently in your facility?
So we've got 40 dogs at the moment at this centre, ranging from large to small, and some of them are available for rehoming and some of them aren't.
So why do you feel like adoption is such an important or integral part to what you do at the RSPCA?
So adoption is really at the centre of what we do. It's really why we do what we do. So all the animals that come into the centres have come from cases of cruelty or neglect, and the ultimate aim for us is to find them a forever home that they can then live a happy and normal life. So it's really important that we find those homes for as many of the animals as we can.
And what would you say is the most rewarding kind of benefit of what you do here at the RSPCA?
So I think the most rewarding part of it for me is seeing those animals walk out the door, the smiles on the faces of the people that adopt them as well. So it's the knowing that animal is going to someone who genuinely really wants to give them that life that they deserve. And we often actually receive follow-up like photographs or updates from our adopters, and that's so lovely when we get those sent in and we get to see the dog looking relaxed in a home. It's brilliant.
And finally, there are also calls for more dogs in Canterbury to come forward as blood donors. Pet Blood Bank is looking for happy, healthy and confident dogs to register. Each donation can save the lives of up to four others. Well, that's all from us for today. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget, you can follow us on socials. Plus, you can get details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via the briefing. To sign up to that, just head to kentonline.co.uk. And whilst you're on the website, you can also sign up to Kent Online Premium, which gives you access to content with fewer ads, no pop-ups, and exclusive stories.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast.